Welcome to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia. The podcast is brought to you in part by Heck Chevrolet and F&B Community Bank of Vandalia, Ramsey, Patoka, Mulberry Grove, and Greenville.
Merrill, wanted to start, if it's good with you, talk a little bit about the water treatment plan. And I know things are really starting to move on this now, really getting closer to getting started on this.
Yeah, so we've $26 million project slated to start sometime, potentially as early as the end of August, probably more realistic September. Have all the pre-bid meetings with the contractor. One of the actions we took last night, so again, it's $26 million, several different funding sources. Part of it's forgivable loans, part of it's grants. At the end of the day, the city's going to end up borrowing about $15.5 million that we'll have to pay back over time. But that funding's coming through the USDA. That's a process. So what we did last night is we approved interim financing. So while we're finalizing the USDA loan, we put bids out to the local banks, $8 million to kind of get the project started. So we had, four bids from our four local community banks, and People's State Bank was the low bidder. And so we're moving forward with, again, interim financing that will kind of jumpstart the project. Because if not, if we had to wait on the USDA, it could delay it, several months. Then you're into the winter. We're anxious. This project's been going on since, I think, 2019 is when they first started talking about that. So it's been a long time coming, and we're excited to get it going.
So you're borrowing money, but you're not borrowing money long term when it comes to the bank.
It's really kind of what we call a bridge loan. They're bridging to the other financing piece of it. So, the other side of that is, the rate that we're paying locally is a little higher than what we're going to be paying to the USDA. But again, the trade-off is we get the project started sooner. So, we proved up to $8 million. We'll draw that down as a construction loan. So we won't draw the entire $8 million from day one. It's just as the project progresses, then we'll get billings. We'll draw down the line. And then when the USDA loan is ready to fund the bonds, in essence, we'll pay off that local loan. But nice to know we had four competitive bids. Nice to see our local banks being involved in the process.
So you mentioned something last night that I thought was interesting, and the situations that the city of Mattoon has been going through with their water. And it got me thinking about a George W. Bush story. He read a book once about the Spanish flu, and he said, we got to be ready for a pandemic, and kind of started ramping things up to be ready for a pandemic, which we have now seen. So not that it would come to that level or anything like that, but it did get me thinking that you do need to be ready just in case something like that would happen.
Yeah. So what you're referencing, for those who may not know, the city of Mattoon has been dealing with the last couple of weeks an algae situation, which makes their water undrinkable. And you couldn't even boil it, because the way with this algae, if you boiled the water, actually made it worse. And so they have been working through the process of finding distribution centers. Fortunately for them, Rural King, having their headquarters there, was able to facilitate large tanker trucks of water, lots of bottled water. The community really, pulled together. Federal, state, local people were all involved in this. And we, happened to have a connection to the guy that was spearheading it up there. And he kind of filled us in on what he's doing. And it just makes you think, what if, because again, that same situation could happen here, right? Because what's created that situation up there is runoff into the lake, which is their water source. So, EPA is always monitoring those levels. So we need to be prepared in a worst case, what if scenario. And even one of the aldermen said to me later, when you think about long-term plans, we talked about the comprehensive plan. Well, the emergency part of that needs to be a component of it, because there's really, when you think of it, tornadoes, floods, like we just, witnessed, water issues, earthquakes. There's really a limited number of things that could happen, but you need to have a plan.
Yeah. And the thing about water is too, with it being so regulated, it's out of your hands if something goes wrong like that.
Oh yeah. Again, in the case of Mattoon, they were saying you cannot drink this, you will not drink this. And so you have to have an alternative solution, which again, I think we need to kind of a doomsday scenario. What happens if something similar to that happens in Vandalia? And so, again, we, I guess if there's an upside to something like it happened in another community, we can look at their plan and maybe incorporate that part of a, you know, into what we want to do.
And it's not something any of us want to think about, but having an emergency plan, not just for water, but if we do have a natural disaster, if we do have something else happen, it's probably something to at least have there ready to go.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And again, we talked a little bit about the flooding, you know, we had situation at the lake and, you know, there was a lot of people that were involved in that. I mean, fortunately, nobody was hurt. You know, some property damage, you know, probably we'll be able to assess that after the water levels go down. But, you know, I went out there yesterday and, you know, I got to ride around with our lake patrol as we were trying to gather canoes and things like that. But, you know, I pointed this out at the meeting last night. I mean, fortunately, you know, there was a couple of individuals who in the middle of the night during the rain took it upon themselves. And they gathered anywhere from 15 to 20 watercrafts and that would have potentially went over that spillway because of where they're located. So, you know, Cameron Withers, I mentioned that, and Cody Stewart. I mean, these are two younger guys who, you know, I want to thank them publicly for what they did. Now, you know, it was in the middle of a storm. I don't know that I want to encourage right, it. I'm right. not encouraging them, but, you know, again, very thankful because, you know, again, it's property, it can be replaced, but without their efforts, I mean, this could have been a lot worse. And then there was people, Charlie Pryor and others yesterday that were helping. And then, you know, we had our EMA group came out and did some tours and see, you know, what kind of, you know, garbage or trash they could pick up. I mean, there's just a lot of trees that are in the water. Because, I mean, I've had people tell me, two different people say that, you know, they've lived out there their entire life and they've never seen the water that high.
Yeah, and that's and I was thinking back to about 15 years ago when we had a ridiculous rain that flooded the city garage, and there were some squad cars that got destroyed. Something like that can happen so quickly and really cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't know that nobody expected this, right?
Right.
Here locally, I mean, I had, you know, 2 3/4 inches of rain. Just to the north of us, you know, you've reported on it very well, Todd. I mean, anywhere from 5 to 7, 9 inches of rain. And this came in a pretty short period of time. And so, you know, and we talked about this last night. I mean, that water going over the spillway, you know, if you just see all videos of it, I mean, and people, we just always kind of underestimate what water can do when it's coming that fast. And so, yeah, again, you know, fortunately, no reports of anybody being hurt. You know, water levels are starting to go down. And thankful for everybody who helped and pitched in.
Kind of changing gears a little bit, and you did mention the Kroger building last night, just that there are some further talks going on.
Yeah, so after, you know, the last council meeting, or not the one last night, but the previous one, you know, they voted not to change the zoning. And so I did have a conversation with Brad Bowman, who owns the facility, you know, considering other options. You know, we talked about who he's marketing the building with. I've gotten Todd Tolman involved. Todd's had a couple conversations with him as well. Myself, Todd, a couple of the aldermen are going to tour the building on Thursday just to see what kind of condition it's in. You know, again, it's a pretty important piece of real estate in our downtown. So, you know, we want to make sure we're doing everything we can at the city level to facilitate some kind of movement on the property. And so that's kind of the next step for us.
And it's one of those things, you know, the public agree or disagree. Look, this is where the council went. Now you respond to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the decision's been made. It's been made twice now. So, you know, I don't think it's going to probably come back around. But in the meantime, we've got a situation we need to address, right? We've got a building that's been vacant for 20 years, you know, and we kind of have an out-of-town owner who we're now engaging. This, you know, what can we do? What can we do to help maybe market it, you know, to show the property and do those things? Because, you know, the worst thing you can do for a building is let it sit. It's been sitting for, like I said, well, 21 years now. So hopefully we can do our part to help get some movement in that area.
So that kind of ties in. I know you said the economic development director making some progress there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how much I should say, but I'd say we have a candidate we've targeted. You know, we've made an offer and we're waiting for a decision. I expect a decision sometime in the next few weeks. You know, there were some other things going on that's kind of delayed that. But yeah, so again, I've got the person I really want. And again, now kind of in the negotiations and the offer stage, and then hopefully, you know, have something in place by the middle of August.
I know Economic Development Commission, you're moving forward with that too.
Yeah, so the Economic Development Commission is something that was already in place in our code. So it's not something I've said, you know, I campaigned on bringing it back. Well, it's already existed. It just hasn't been active. And so last night, you know, I mentioned some names. You know, the way the commission is set up, you know, I as mayor, I'm a member of it, the economic development position is. So, you know, in the interim, Todd Thoman will be filling that. Then our economic development committee of the four aldermen that make that up are automatically members as well. There's other members that, again, are as part of the code or automatic members. The chamber president, in this case, is Dr. Garrison, but also the school superintendent. So instead of wearing two roles or wearing two hats, I should say, you know, she's suggesting nominating Rick Radliff as to be the designee for the chamber. And so, and then Jennifer will join as well. The county board representative is going to be Pat Click. And then at-large members, and this will, there'll be more, but the at-large members right now who have committed, Tyler Schmidt, Amber Dahlball, who else I'm forgetting here? Tyler Schmidt, Amber Dahlball, Reed Torbeck.
And then
Shane Bowen. So right now that's the makeup. My plan is to have the final list. You know, I want to get somebody from the hospital and then a couple other key groups. You know, we need some finance people on there as well. So my plan is to have the official final list for the council in August and then have the first meeting towards the end of August before Labor Day.
Very good. So anything you want to touch on this week?
No, I think, again, we had a meeting last night. I will say we did hire a new building official.
Yes.
So I do want to thank Dan Barenfinger, you know, publicly. He came back after the storm in March, you know, to help us with all the building permits and all the roofing permits. So thank you, Dan, for doing that. He said, I'll come back and help out. I don't want to do this long term. And so he pretty much said, look, the end of July, I'm done. You need to find somebody. Well, last night we approved Dave Jones to take over. He's got experience in the construction. You know, he worked at RP Lumber for a number of years, currently works at the Correctional Center. He works second shift, so his schedule allows, you know, to do this for us. He's excited about it. We are as well. So, again, he's going to, you know, he's got to clear up a hurdle with, you know, getting approval for secondary employment through the state, but he's ready to come on board. He'll job shadow Dan for a couple of days before the end of the month and then ready to hit the ground running. So we're excited about that. And then, you know, we talked about this last week, you know, tourism is mentioned again last night, you know, that position will be getting posted. Again, just another, you know, trying to make progress. We get the ED position, get tourism, you know, and then get, you know, fully staffed. And I think that'll help make things progress.
I know sometimes things slow down a little bit in government, plus the summer doesn't always help. But how you feeling about that? You feel like you are making some progress?
Yeah, I think we've done some nice things already. I think there's just momentum, right? We haven't finalized, you know, everything you want to get done, but we're making some really nice progress. I think the council is engaged. You know, I really like the conversations we're having. I like the conversations I'm hearing within the community. I think there's just a positive vibe. And, you know, I like the collaboration between, you know, the chamber, the city, the county, you know, the schools, all the other taxing bodies. There's just a lot of positive energy that I think is just going to produce results, you know, ongoing.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia. It's brought to you by Heck Chevrolet and F&B Community Bank of Vandalia, Ramsey, Patoka, Mulberry Grove, and Greenville. You can listen to all of our podcasts. Just go to VandaliaRadio.com and go under the podcast tab.